2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is where we're going to start. Paul is giving an example of how is it that we continue and we never give up? How is it that we get to a point that we just are able to continue on? Well, Paul was a great example of that. Paul was a wonderful demonstrator of that. We see the challenges that he was faced with, but also we see the hardships that he endured, but yet remained faithful, but yet a strong faithfulness that shows a boldness and a example that we can all draw from. Now, it seems as though when we get into 2 Corinthians, we find that he's still defending his ministry. How ironic is it not? How ironic it is that we today, 2,000 years later, continue to read the inspired Word of God that Paul had penned much of the New Testament, being led of the Holy Spirit, not Paul's words, but God's words, that as he penned the Scriptures during the time of his ministry, he was doubted, he was refuted, he was rejected by many, even in the Lord's church. Now, how can that be? Well, the sad thing is Satan is at work, isn't he? Folks, we're dealing with the same thing today, and nothing is different. We have many religious groups, and we have many that call themselves churches, and they refute the gospel of Christ. They dismiss the Word of God. They do not accept God's Word, infallible Word of God, as truth and as a guide and standard for faith. They substitute, they distort, and they adulterate the Word of God, and more than that, the gospel of Christ. And the end result is that we have a world that's filled with empty religion, empty pews, empty hearts, empty homes, and now an empty White House. God is not there, God's not welcomed there, and he's dismissed. And so is it any wonder that when we come with the gospel message and we say we have something to share, that why wouldn't the world look at us with a stern eye and say, why should I listen to you? Is that not a fair assessment in the society that we live in today? And yet, as believers, we get all offended and upset. Why would they say that? Look around you. Amen? The distortions abound. The counterfeits are everywhere. Satan has had a field day. And so how is it that we get to a point that we never give up? How is it that we accept the gospel message for what it truly is and what it will always be and never cease to be? And how is it that we continue in ministry with a boldness much like Peter? Peter, listen to me. Paul, okay? Let me get my disciples lined up right there. Paul, in the demonstration of his commitment to the Lord, but his commitment to the gospel message, he reveals how it is that he never gives up. There's two phrases that we'll see in the New King James. You'll see it in verse 1. He says, we do not lose heart. Then you'll see it down there in verse 16. We do not lose heart. Well, can we translate that into our modern day English? Never give up. Amen? Never give up. I thought about showing the cartoon, but I know it's available everywhere. One of my favorite cartoons is this picture of this stork. And you see that he's got a frog in his mouth and a frog's legs are hanging out his beak. And he's about to swallow the frog, but the frog has his hands around the stork's throat. Have you ever seen that cartoon? And the caption says, never give up. You know, sometimes we feel like we're just right there in the beak ready to go down. And things are so difficult. But you know, there's always a way in there. There's always a way. And so as we look at that, that's kind of one of those thoughts that kind of flashed through my head. Never give up. Now, I don't know if Paul was much on frogs and cranes. I don't really know. But there is a picture and a example that Paul is trying to paint for us here today in his own life and his own example. But more than that, he doesn't want us to just be founded upon what he has done. He wants us to be founded upon who Christ is. And folks, can we never emphasize enough that our faith, our gospel, the teaching of God's Word is not based upon us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb for that. Amen. Praise the Lord is not dependent upon you and me. For the arm of flesh is weak and it will fail you, right? But we trust upon Christ. He'll never fail you. Amen. And so therefore, let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask the blessing of the reading of your word. Lord, may we never give up on the gospel message. May we never give up of those that trust in you. May we continue to follow through in that faith. Because, Lord, you're the only one that is stable. You're the only one that can deliver us. You're the only one that can open our hearts and our minds and understand the things of God. And more than that, to understand the way of salvation. Lord, thank you for sending your Son that we may know you. Thank you for sending your Son that we may love you. We ask these in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. So as we look at these scripture verses today, I want us to begin to look at we do not give up on the message. And this is, I think, very central of what Paul is presenting to us here. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. First of all, he preaches the gospel because, number one, he's a recipient of that gospel message. You have to be reminded, I believe that as we look through Paul's writing, he begins to reveal his heart that he feels very burdened about the reality that he persecuted the Lord's church in the very beginning of his life. Assume that God's never going to forgive you of that, but in reality, God has already forgiven you of that. Too often we hold within our own selves thinking that we have the power to forgive or not forgive ourselves. Will we not continue to deceive ourselves? Forgiveness comes from God and God only. Amen. You don't have the authority. You don't have the power. Can I go so far and be so bold to say we don't have the brain power to decide whether or not we will forgive because we forget half of what we've done. Amen. Only God can keep track of what needs to be forgiven, what needs to be paid for, what needs to be taken care of. And he did so upon the cross of Calvary. He did it all. He took care of it all. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lamb for that. And because of that, because of his completeness of forgiveness, because of his perfections of forgiveness, because of the perfections of his love and the perfections upon the cross of Calvary, we can truly stand and say that I have been forgiven. That is, if you have called upon the Lord Jesus as your Savior, confessing your sins unto him, surrendering your life to him to be the Lord and King of your life starting today and now and will go on forever. Amen? We can truly say that we're forgiven. Not because I remember it at all. Not because I decided to be. Not because I decided to let it go. But scripturally, by God's word, by his authority, you have been forgiven. So therefore, we never give up. What is it that you stopped in ministry? What is it that you used to do in service to God that you stopped? What is it that you have done? Maybe you haven't come to worship. Maybe you haven't been faithful in worship. Maybe you haven't been faithful in service. Maybe you haven't been faithful in sharing the gospel. Because there's something that you just simply could not accept that you've been forgiven of or been able to put behind you. Paul found that as a constant reminder to become humble before God. And so should we. But the results of that is a service of gratitude, a motivation that you would never give up. Paul was grateful what Jesus had done in his life. May we ask of ourselves, are we grateful as well? He was committed because of the love that God had given. Look at how he says that since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. And so therefore, we're going to share mercy. Amen? We're going to share what we've been given. But he does warn us. And how is it that the gospel must be handled? Verse 2, he said, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Many were accusing Paul of taking the gospel message and using it for his own abilities, his own wants. Probably the farthest thing from the truth, but you know what? When we try to live honestly, many are going to doubt what we're doing. And can I remind you my introduction? Is there any reason that they should not doubt us? There's too many that have called and brought about a false gospel. There's too many that have claimed one thing and live completely a different. But folks, we must live up to the challenge. Amen? We must be willing to submit to the Lord and continue to follow in faithfulness, whether we get the accolades, the recognition, or the acceptance. Heart. We will never give up. I am convinced that this is the determination of what determines if you're a child of God, if you're not. Today, we live in a society that they want us to accept any and all things. And I'm talking about lifestyles. I'm talking about immorality. I'm talking about abortion. We're talking about all of these things in our society. I've just named a very few of so many. They want us to accept them so that they can feel accepted. Folks, there's the difference between a child of God and those that are living in the world. We will never be accepted by this world, but yet we continue to never give up. Because our motivation, our purpose, our hearts are not dependent upon whether or not this world accepts us. In fact, Jesus even told the disciples, says, "Look, when they persecute you, rejoice. Because they have not accepted me. They rejected me first. And if you're my children, if you're following me, they're going to reject you." But we do not give up. We do not give up. Folks, I think that's probably why we decided to stop sharing the gospel. Because we were rejected. It doesn't matter. For their sake, it doesn't matter. Amen? We've got to put ourselves somewhere else. We've got to put our feelings aside, whether they accept you or not. For their sake. We must share the words of life, but we must handle the gospel honestly. We must handle the gospel consistently, meaning that we live the life that we speak of. We demonstrate Christ. We handle it truthfully. We don't adulterate the gospel of Christ. Too many times they want to soften it. They think that we want to adjust it so that others will hear it. Can I impress upon you, there is no one that can come to Christ without being convicted of sin. It's not going to happen. Saved from. How can you be saved if you're not willing to admit that Jesus went to the cross and died for you and died for me? If we don't accept that reality, then we will never accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. It's simple process. Amen? So don't worry about being upset, but just assure that we are handling the gospel accurately. Because we must give an account. We're not giving an account to those that are upset. We're giving account to the God, the architect of salvation, and the architect of His Word. We will give an account. But here's something that I found interesting. Josh McDowell made a comment on the gospel message. Wherever Jesus has been proclaimed, we see lives change for the good, nations change for the better, thieves become honest, alcoholics become sober, hateful individuals become channels of love, unjust persons embrace justice. Isn't that true? And here I thought policies and politics and shaping of our politicians would change all of this. No, it won't. But the gospel will. Amen? Verses 3 and 4, he reminds us that the God of this age has blinded them. He's blinding them to the gospel message. Those who are, uses the phrase, who are perishing. Sounds like a hymnal, doesn't it? Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring ones and lift up the fallen. Why? Because we've got a message that can heal. We have a message of Jesus, and only Jesus can save. Why is it that in the gospel, first of all, those that are perishing, they have separated themselves from God? Some may say, well, why would they want to do that? Because of our sin, number one. Our sin blinds us from what God's word and God's truth is. And so they're unable to see the life that God is offering them because sin has blinded their eyes. And then Satan is actively blinding them from the truths of God's word by sending the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, trying to get us focused on worldly things. It's so much easier to focus on those things that give us immediate gratification. Wouldn't you agree? And so is it surprising to us that those that are lost and do not know God are not easily distracted from those things that are eternal, or maybe not even know of those things that are eternal? There's many that believe that when they die, that they just cease to exist. There's nothing left. The sad reality is that's not true. The sad reality is that they don't realize the eternal life that they can have with their Creator, their Lord. John chapter 10 phrases so clearly for us, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Isn't that true? Satan is doing everything that he possibly can to destroy us as our homes, our churches, our nation, individuals. Do you realize that Satan is on a mission to destroy every soul of mankind that he can? So often people say, oh, I don't want to talk about something so terrible and so evil. If you don't talk about him, maybe he won't exist. Can I convince you that that is one of his most effective processes, is convincing people that he doesn't exist while he goes around stealthily destroying people from behind the scenes. Now come on, people, take joy. That's not the end of the verse, amen? But he says, but I have come. Who is it that is I? Who is it that I have come? Who? That's right, Jesus. Jesus, he says, I have come that they may have life. As if that wasn't enough, amen? But that they may have it more abundantly. You know what abundantly means? Above and beyond what you can contain. You ever had a house or a cabin or something that leaked? I can remember we had a cabin that was on the Merrimack River, and I grew up there. Had a lot of good times as a kid, fishing, swimming, camping, all these fun things. But when it rained, the rain didn't always stay outside. It seemed to find its way through that old cabin. And we'd find every pot we could find. And unfortunately, we didn't have enough pots for the leaks that would come through the roof. So sometimes we had to find cereal bowls. Well, you know as well as I do, the cereal bowls filled up quite quickly. So we did a lot of running water out the front door and trying to catch all the water. Wouldn't it be exciting to envision God's blessing upon our lives in the same way? It's true. The more that we open our lives, the more that we offer to Him, the more that we set all things aside, no matter what area of life it is, no matter how difficult it may be, when we set all those things aside and say, God, we want you to have every part of my life, to cover every area, He just continues to pour out more and more of Himself into us. Verse 6, He tells us that only the gospel can bring light. What is that light? Well, God commanded that light to shine out of the darkness. He has shown it in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus brings that light. That light is His truth. It is His word. It is His spirit. And if you want to encapsulate all that together, it's the very presence of Christ within us that brings that light. That light tells us what is true. It reveals to us what is true. And folks, only by the gospel message can that bring life into the individuals that we share with. Folks, sharing the gospel is a God thing. It's not a you or me thing. And you know, I think that when we get so hung up on learning how to share the gospel, can I be just honest with you? I think you get hung up. I really do. I shared with our small group the other day that sometimes the simplicity of just sharing the gospel is just go to John 3:16. And with all due respect, who doesn't know John 3:16? Many do. Now, if you don't know that, I'm not trying to insult you, but can I encourage you to go to John 3:16 and memorize it? And you'll have the gospel plan right there in your hand. And then if you want to just be a overachiever, then go on into the next few verses and really lay out the gospel message. And we still are just left in one book in about three or four verses. But too often we think, well, I've got to take EE, I've got to take Evangelism Explosion, I got to go through all of this and that, and I got to learn this track, I got to memorize it, and you begin to confuse yourself. Can I tell you something? As heavy of a responsibility is, what a thrilling joy it is to just get out there and do it, amen? And if you truly are burdened, now, Pastor, I'm afraid I'm going to mess somebody up. Well, can I tell you that more than likely, we all have messed ourselves up much more than what you're going to accomplish. But for the sake of consoling your concern, come to me and let's just talk about what you're going to say about Jesus. We'll confirm it in the Word, and I'll send you on your way. And go do what God has commanded us, not asked us, but has commanded us to do. Let's not get hung up when souls are on the line. Amen? Number two, we do not give up in times of trouble. This has always been an interesting thing that is, it's almost as if Paul goes on a rant, if you will, with an accentuation of glory that God has worked in his life. Let me read to you verses 7 through 9. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let me touch on that for just a minute. He says, look at what we have. Look at the excitement of what God is doing. He has chosen to give us his mercy, his presence, his power in us, in earthen vessels. Why does he describe it in such? First of all, we're broken. Amen? We are simple. There's nothing that we have to offer. But glory to be God that we are a vessel and that we can contain that which is so valuable and so powerful. Amen? And so we become vessels of God to bring about the words of life. And when they get excited, they say, it's amazing. No one has ever told me this. Where have you been all my life? And we can correct them and say, no, not where have I been, but where has Jesus been all of your life? And then we rejoice together. Amen. And too often we begin, as I was telling you, we get hung up about sharing the gospel. We get too hung up about the vessel and don't get excited about what God is putting in the vessel. Oh, come on, you're getting too quiet on me. Are you listening to me? Placing in us the power of his word. And when we refuse the temptation to twist it, to change it, oh, it needs to fit our day. My friend, I'm telling you what, every time that we say that, God just sits back and laughs heartily. We are so small. We are so naive of eternity, infinite holiness, infinite perfections. We talk about these things, but we don't even have a clue of what it looks like. You know why? Because we can't look at it. It's too great for us. And we stop and say, well, we need to make the Bible, we need to make the church relevant to our time of day. Our time of day is so small that when we get into heaven, we get into eternity, we're going to have a microscope to try to see our lifespan on this earth and how it fits in eternity. We're not even going to be able to see it. We are so insignificant, and yet we think as a people and a society, we can stand here and shake our fist in the assumption that we know more than God. What a tragedy we've become if we think that way. But you know what? If we spend too much time looking at the vessel and forget about what should be in the vessel, we're going to get discouraged. Are you with me? Oh, if you spend all that time looking at every little crack, every little flaw, you're going to think, oh, there's just no use in me going. You know what? We should say there's no use in me staying. Amen? We shouldn't be waiting for a place to go. Because in all honesty, we've already been called to go everywhere. It's already on your life. It's already in Scripture. It's already been given to the church. The question is not where. The question is when. Amen? So he says, in verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted and not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. How far was I going? Oh, all right, I got to stop. I already went too far, didn't I? Let me read to you in the Amplified Bible. 2 Corinthians. Amplified Bible, they give you the text, and then they put in parentheses or brackets, as you're going to see, the description or definition of that phrase. It really helps me, so I thought I'd read the Amplified Bible to you. We are pressured in every way. You ever feel hedged in? Can't go anywhere? But not crushed. Perplexed, meaning we're unsure of finding a way out, but not driven to despair. Hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted. We're never made to stand alone. Amen? We're struck down, but never destroyed. Isn't that something to be excited about? Some of us might be thinking that, well, I don't know if it's so excited about being perplexed and hedged in and absolute despair and feeling deserted. I don't know if that's excited. But yet, when we get to those places, as Paul has been, he comes to the place and realizes that nothing can get us down when God is for us. Amen? Situations in life can cause us so often to relate to what Paul is saying, to the point that we may feel is, what is the use of sharing the gospel when everybody seems to hate it, when they're downing it, they're dogging it, trying to discredit it? Can I encourage you and help you to remember that the eternal God that rests in you, this entire world, including Satan himself, the Antichrist and the false prophet, will stand before him and be condemned to a devil's hell forever and ever. They may deny and discredit, but one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that profession will stop there. They won't say that, well, yeah, he's kind of got... No, it's going to be a full, truthful confession of every created entity. Everything will. Everything. So everything above the earth, in the earth, and below the earth, everything will profess. I believe even creation itself. I believe the rocks, the mountains, the earth, the atmosphere, the space, everything will profess that he is Lord. Do you understand that, people? So when we're discussing with those around us, and they have such, it seems to be such an intelligent conversation of why God does not exist, may we remind them, the greatest arguments have all fallen before the infinite and eternal God. And not doing it just to win an argument, not doing it just to embarrass or say, ha, I got you, but to say, would you please come to know the Lord Jesus who has loved me so much and he loves you too. How is it that we bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus? We live in self-denial. We live daily subjecting ourselves to the cross, meaning that we subject ourselves to his will over our own, his passions and urges over our own. We struggle daily to overcome and conquer the pressures of temptation and evil that is around us. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. How often? Daily. You're following with me, good. And follow me. That's not me. That's capitalized. So that's Jesus, right? Okay. We do not give up because of our eternal reward. Verses 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Again, we do not give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to ask you, do you have your eyes fixed on what is eternal, or are you fixed on what is temporal? Do you ever notice that when things get really messy and things get bad in our world, there's some groups that are just falling apart? Can I impress upon you that there's a spiritual lesson in that? Those that find contentment, those that find a place of peace, have their hearts and their minds fixed upon eternity and not today. That's where we find our peace, folks. We're living on this planet, but yet our hearts, our treasures, our home, our goal, our purpose is all in eternity right now. Think of that. And then Paul tells us, for the temporary light affliction that we suffer here is for just a moment, is working a far more exceeding weight of glory that we'll enjoy for all eternity. What a great exchange. You're never going to go to the bank and find an exchange like that. But by God's grace, you can. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21. I want to share with you. I'm going to share with you the gospel message. Maybe some of you will be thinking that, you know, I know he's almost got me convinced. I'm going to go share the gospel. I'm going to demonstrate, okay? Remember, Brother Gary Gillum came and filled in for me when I was in the hospital. He uses the exact same verses here, John 3, 16 through 21. But if you remember, if you go back and see it, he did it backwards. He started at 21 and worked his way up to verse 16. So there's all kinds of things that you can do, but we're just going to start at verse 16 for the sake of this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. First of all, we see the very source of all love is God himself. We can claim to have love, but can I tell you that we do not know love until you know God? It's plain and simple. More than that, he is the initiator of love, he is the initiator of salvation, and he is the only source of salvation. No other religious founder, no other religion can give you this right here, that the one who created you loved you. And he's going to show you what love is, and he did so by sending his son, that you might be loved. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How often do they tell you, well, anything like that? Well, when you live in sin and you love sin, yes, that's going to be your feeling. You're going to feel like God is against you, but the reality is he is against sin, but he actually loves you because he made you. You've been made in the image of God. Isn't it great that he didn't come to destroy us? But one day he will, won't he? And that's why we're warning those who are perishing. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Are you condemned today? How many of you are not condemned today? Amen. And did you get there on your own? Who got you there? Who forgave you? Who paid your sin debt? Did he pay all of it? Amen. For God did not send his son into the world, condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, I explain to people, they always ask, what's that one sin, preacher, that I'm going to commit that's going to keep me out of heaven? And I tell them, my dear friend, we've already committed it. Oh, how can that be? One sin, right? Book of James says, if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of the whole thing. Seems unfair, doesn't it? God is comparing us to himself. He's perfect and he's holy, and that's what will come into heaven. That which is perfect and that which is holy. And only he can make that happen. But those who do not believe are condemned already. It's not a question of not, I kind of use the illustration, they're on a boat. It's a beautiful boat. Looks great on the outside. You take it out for a test run and you find out, this thing has holes everywhere in the bottom of this boat. And you're taking on water faster than you can bail it out. So someone comes along and they say, can we help you out? No, I got this. And you bail as furiously as you possibly can. Guess what? You're on a boat that's going down. And many times people think that, well, maybe if I just stay here, maybe if I work a little harder. Nope, the boat's going down, right? You can't change that. You cannot stop that. Well, what do you have to do? You have to receive help. You have to reach out and receive help. Well, in our spiritual lives, Jesus is that life preserver, and he will deliver you. Not just to give you a floaty to get by, but he takes you out and puts you in a new boat that will never sink. Amen? Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So often we look at this and say, people love their sin, dirty people. Maybe we should be loving and say, I've been there. I've bowed my head in absolute shame of what I've done. And as ugly as it was, as horrible as it was, somehow Jesus decided to forgive me anyway. Maybe we need to be with them on some of these points instead of against them. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Do you want to come before God with confidence, without condemnation? I want to challenge you today. Let's pray over the sharing of these scriptures. You know, there's many times that church members are saved in a church service such as this. I'm asking you to search your heart today. Maybe you've kind of come to a place that you just want to give up. Maybe you need to be refreshed in the Spirit, refreshed in the Word. Maybe you need to have a personal revival once again and say, God, help me to start afresh and start anew. Maybe you're one that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've known of Him and have had a lot of religious experiences, but yet never truly come to a place that you've been able to lay aside that sin and condemnation, lay it upon Christ, and be forgiven. You need to do that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. What a beautiful message that you have given us an opportunity to carry, the words of truth, the words of life. While we were once enemies of the cross, you save us, you renew us, you restore us, you reconciled us to the Father, and now you give us those same words, the same message that we were fighting against. You now give us an opportunity to go and share that with others that they might be saved. What an awesome God that you truly are. Love your enemies, make them better than they ever dreamed that they could be, and send them out to win more of your enemies. Lord, that's truly love. Help us to love those around us. Help us not to give up. We don't need to change the message. We don't need to change the words. More glorious and more powerful message than exists that Jesus has given us. Lord, excite our hearts once again. Break our heart that we may continue to live lives that complement the gospel that we share. Lord, we love you. We need you. May you use us up for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.